Good evening. Good to see each and every one of you all out tonight. So thankful for each of you being here on this nice, cool night. So thankful for each of these young men that have led our services before I've gotten up here, and each of the ones that are to come after me. I asked Garrison, I don't know, about a week or two ago what he was planning on speaking on, and he said, well, I think I'm going to talk about things that scare us. And he kind of gave me a rough outline of a couple of points that he was going to speak on. And I said, well, hey, why don't I just do a part two as a continuation from what he spoke on. And he did an awesome job about talking about how oftentimes trust and pain and associations can scare us. He took a couple of my examples on his first slide there with the clown. I was going to mention the clown. And things like that. But tonight I want to talk about three things that I think we fear or we are scared of oftentimes, and we shouldn't be. And then I want to talk about the reason why we shouldn't be. When I look back on my past, there are some things that I can think about, and it can bring some fearful thoughts to mind. I remember whenever I was, I don't remember how old I was. I have to be truthful because my parents are in the audience tonight. But, not that I wouldn't be truthful up here. But I think I was in middle school age, maybe. Me and one of my friends, he had a three-wheeler. And we were all riding this three-wheeler, and we decided that we would do something that we probably wouldn't categorize as very smart. We decided to try to pull off some stunt about going up some steep hill backwards, and, well, it didn't work out for us. And looking back on it, we could have really been injured, both of us. Thankfully, we were both okay. We thought we'd gotten away with it, but then he got us in the pickup truck about a week later where we couldn't go anywhere. Hey guys, what about that three-wheeler accident y'all had about a week ago when we knew we were in for it? But there are probably things in your life that you can think back on in your past and probably thinking, man, I wish I hadn't done that. Or man, that could have turned out so differently. I have those same instances in my life as well. Some of the decisions, some of the choices that I made as a child and as a teenager can bring fearful thoughts to my mind. But if we all look back to those decisions and choices we made, we can probably think of at least one that we may be scared of or be fearful of. We all have choices that we regret. We've all made the wrong decision before. We've all given in to temptation before as well. Romans 3, chapter 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's not a single one of us sitting here in this room that has not made a mistake before in our lives. We're all the same. We're all human beings. We all have things we can look back and say, man, I wish I chose something else. But as a Christian, looking back at that of the sin that was in our lives could be a scary thought, if not for Jesus himself, if not for Christ dying on that cross. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. By Jesus' wounds on the cross, we don't have to fear those mistakes we made years ago, or maybe even just yesterday. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus didn't count himself as equal to God. He came to this earth. He humbled himself, came to this earth, walked step for step, faced the same temptations that we face today. And he gave his life for us. Let's look at the example of Paul. Paul, he could have easily looked back at his past decisions, at his past actions, and he could have been terrified of the life that he once lived. Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 15, "For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." If you're anything like me, we probably all know the things that we're supposed to be doing, how we're supposed to be living life. But yet, sometimes we still stumble. Yet sometimes we still make mistakes. Yet sometimes we turn our back on God. But he's there. And it's because of that sacrifice he made on that cross, we don't have to fear those mistakes we've made. We know the right things, just like Paul did. But we often make those wrong decisions. We need not to look behind us at those past mistakes. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Paul says, "Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." Paul could have turned and looked. Look at all of that, all those people that I put to death. Look at all those people that I put in prison just because they believed in God, because they believed in Christ. He turned from his past and he focused on what lies ahead. We can't go back and change the mistakes that we've made. We can't change yesterday. We can't change last year. All we can do is focus on what we're doing today. Thankfully, Jesus was and is our Savior. God is a merciful God, forgiving us of our past mistakes. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. The author here quoting Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, "For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." So thankful Jesus. I'm so thankful God doesn't remember my past sins. God forgives us of our past mistakes and those past sins. Are you willing to be obedient to Him? Are you willing to humble yourself to obedience to the Lord? Sometimes our past can scare us. But what if we're not scared? What if we're not fearful of our past? Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're scared of something that's going on in your life right now. Maybe not looking back at past mistakes. Maybe, yeah, God's forgiven me of those. But man, look what I'm going through right now. Look what I have going on in my life right now. I tend to try to steer clear of the news as much as I can. But sometimes I look at it. The news is filled with all kinds of tragedies each and every day. Tragic events such as the shootings in Las Vegas just a few weeks back. The terrible wildfires that were in California. The hurricanes in Texas and Florida and the Caribbean. Terrible tragedies in this world. Lots of hurt going on in this world. Lots of people that are hurting. And then we look at all those people that are battling different health issues, different illnesses and diseases that we as humans have to face. Then we think about the financial struggles. Struggles that some people are going through due to their finances. And then we think about
relationships. People having trouble with relationships. People having trouble in their marriages. Things
of that nature.
All these difficulties can oftentimes bring up feelings of fear. Great amounts of fear. But just as with our past, we have no need to be fearful of the present day and the things that we are struggling with each and every day. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about these worries and these fears of our present day. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body. What you will put on is not life more than food, and the body and more than clothing." Jesus says, don't be scared about things. Don't worry about things today. He specifically mentions there food, clothing, drinks. But how do we not worry about things like that? How do we not worry about things that are right in front of us? Things that we face each and every day? Well, if we go down just a little bit in Matthew chapter 6, he tells us in verse 33, he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." If we focus on God, if we put God priority number one in our lives, all the things that we do are geared towards serving him, he'll take care of the rest. He will bless us for our dedication. He will bless us for our service. Now, does that mean you're not going to have any troubles or trials? No, it's not. Christians still struggle. We still face financial problems. We still face illnesses and tragedies, things like that. But we have that hope because of Jesus. Paul says we can have peace from these types of fears and worries. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God will surpass all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I don't know about you, but I want that peace. I want that peace of God in my heart. He says, give it all to God. Cast your worries. Do not be anxious about him, about things. Give things to God. Peter says in 1 Peter 5, it says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares about you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." I don't know about you, but sometimes whenever I'm facing a difficulty, a struggle in my life, it feels like I'm the only one in the entire world going through that. But I know Scripture tells us that's not true. That's not true. I do not face a temptation or a struggle that is not new to mankind. It may be new to me, but it's not new to mankind. Peter says to humble ourselves, cast those fears and worries on him. Be on the lookout. And we're supposed to seek first the kingdom of God, make God a priority in our lives. Be on the lookout for those temptations. Continue to fight, resist those things that come before you. Stand strong no matter what. And remember, you are not alone. You're not alone. Just look around this room. There's a bunch of people here tonight. You are not alone. God designed the church to be a support system for one another. We just have to be willing to reach out and ask for help. And we have to look for opportunities to help one another instead of always focus on ourselves. Continue to lift one another up. Fight for each other. Encourage one another. I'm going to give just a small shout out to the team guys here. Wednesday night we talked about encouragement in the team guys class. last 5-10 minutes of class, I passed all of them out just little cards. They were just basically blank pieces of construction paper. And I wrote each one of our teen ladies' names on it. I said, I want you just to write a short message on there of encouragement to each one of these young ladies. I was blown away by these young ladies' reaction. Just a something simple as a little sheet of construction paper with some words of encouragement on it. But I heard from many of them, that made my day, that made my week, that made my month. We all like encouragement. We all like knowing someone else is there for us. Someone else is fighting for us. Today you may be sitting here scared about something. Will you cast your fears on the Lord? Will you reach to others for help? Because we're here to help. But maybe it's not your past. Maybe you're not worried about those past mistakes you made. Maybe life's good right now. I'm flying high. This is awesome. Life's great. Maybe it's not your present. But what about tomorrow? What about next week? What about next month? Next year? 3 years down the road? In my line of work, which is working with kids, working with youth, they're all the time talking about the future. When I finally get in middle school, when I finally make it to high school, the middle schoolers will say. Then the high schoolers will say, when I get my driver's license. Then they'll say, whenever I get to go to college, or when I get a job. They're always looking to the future. What is to happen next? And for a teenager, the future can be exciting. It can be scary at times, but it can be exciting for our teenagers. But what about us adults? Do we ever look to the future? Are we scared of the future? Some adults will say, well, whenever I get married, or whenever we have kids, or whenever we buy our first home, or whenever I get that promotion at work, or whenever I get to retire. Those things, the future is scary. And oftentimes the future is scary because it's unknown. I don't know what my tomorrow is going to bring. I know I plan to wake up in the morning, get dressed, go teach some ancient world civilizations to some seventh graders that probably don't care anything about it, but that's what they're getting. But God might have another plan for me. He may have something else in store for me. I don't know. I don't know what next week brings. I don't know what next year brings. But let's think about our eternity for just a moment. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. Every one of us sitting here tonight is living and breathing. Hopefully. Hopefully you didn't go to sleep on me yet. But we're all living and breathing here. There's going to come a point in our lives where we're not going to live anymore. Acts 17, verse 31, because he has fixed the day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by man whom he has appointed. Matthew 12, verses 36 and 37, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by words you will be justified, and by words you will be condemned. There's a day that we will cease to live on this earth, whether by death or by Jesus coming again. By death or by Jesus coming again. That's the only two ways we have out. And then there's going to be a time where we will be judged by our actions and by our words. We don't know when this time's going to occur. We don't know when we will breathe our last breath. Will it be tonight? Will it be tomorrow? Next week? Next month? Nobody knows. And this thought might scare you tonight. The thought of not knowing what will happen in the future to your soul. But God wants us to fear not. He wants us not to be scared of that. He wants us to have peace and to know that we can have eternal life with Him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know you have eternal life. So that you won't be fearful of your future. I write these things. We just have to be in obedience to Him. We have to be living out God's Word in our life. Do you know what your eternity will hold? We don't know when we will be facing eternity, but we can know what our eternity will hold. Fear is a real thing. As Garrison said, it can be a productive thing. And sometimes we battle different fears in our life. We can fear all kinds of different things. But because of the cross, we don't have to fear many of the things that we've discussed tonight. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. We don't have to be fearful. We can live a fearless life. Because God loved you, God loved me enough that He was willing to allow His Son to die on that cross for each one of us. Romans 5:8, God shows His love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But if we live in obedience to Him, we don't have to fear anything. Let me say that again. We don't have to fear anything because of the love that God shows for us. Because of the cross. Because of the sacrifice Jesus made. Luke 13:3 says, "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Romans 10:9-10, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." Mark 16:16, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Then listen to what John says in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. I started just to focus on the very last part of that, which we all know. But I read it and I looked perfect. John says in Revelation 2:10, he starts with, "Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulations." John ends Revelation 2:10 with, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." Because of Christ, we can have hope, not fear. We can have hope, not fear. If you're not a Christian tonight, we're going to offer the invitation for you to obey the gospel of Christ. Maybe you're a Christian already tonight, and maybe you haven't been living the kind of life that Christ has told us we should be living. If you have any need, please come forward as we stand and sing.